Good afternoon. I'm Zheng Yuan. I'm from Shanghai Astronomical Observatory. I'm happy to talk about this after Andrew and Justin's talk because I can show you the results from the very multiple star and the story about probably related to ultra faint dwarf from observational data. So let me see. I was doing stream finding and open cluster identification in the last year, but the first thing I cross-matched with Gaia DR2 is the up-process enhanced stars. That's the thing I want to do for a long time, but I had zero idea how to deal with that before until I met with the people in the last Milky Way conference in Shanghai. So I talked to Haining Li, and she had a very large, very multiple star catalog. And Tin Li and Kohei Tadafumi, we are all interested in the very multiple star. So we started this project in the hackathon after the workshop. So let me first use one slide to introduce why I'm interested in the up-process enhanced stars. First of all, from a theoretical point of view, it can be produced by real supernova events, and it can also be produced by neutron star merger. And neutron star merger is only confirmed the channel by far from the gravitational wave detection. And this is from Alex Ji's paper. This is all the high-resolution spectroscopy data in the stellar halo and in ultra faint dwarf. You can see all the gray dots are the halo stars, and all the colored ones are from the ultra faint dwarf. So there's lots of information in this plot. First of all, you see basically the halo star and the stars in ultra faint dwarf, they have similar pattern, and it's consistent with the hierarchical formation history, which is showed by Andrew's simulation. We expect these halo stars are from lots of small dwarfs when they merge with Milky Way. And at that time, Milky Way is a very small dwarf galaxy. Second of all, if you look at stars below -2, you will see large scatter. And it can be explained by those up-processing events are very rare. So the enrichment is very patchy. That's why you see in the low mass end, the variation is very large. And the most striking thing in this plot is all the ultra faint dwarf have very deficient values of baryon, strontium, and europium over iron, except for reticulin 2, which is a highly up-processed which have lot 7 highly up-processed enhanced stars. So it indicates that these events are rare and prolific. So most of the ultra faint dwarf cannot get it, but once it gets it, it will be enriched to an extremely high value, like what we see in reticulin 2. And if we compare ultra faint dwarf with the normal dwarf galaxy, you can see this is Phoenix and Luna Minor. They will get this up-process enrichment by multiple events. That's why you will see the variation of europium of iron. They will have both R1 and R2 star, but in reticulin 2, it only have R2. Simply because it probably only have one event in such small system. And if we look into reticulin 2, surprisingly, you will see the europium over hydrogen value is not uniform. It increased over time, and it may be explained by the inhomogeneous mixing of one neutron star merging event in a small system. I think lots of things are like we know roughly why it happens, but we don't have the conclusive story about that. And these things itself are like very interesting topic and very important topic in nuclear astrophysics, because we don't know about the yield frequency and the dominant channel of our process. Although it's confirmed from the neutron star merger event, but it can also be produced by neutron star and black hole event. And all these different channels, they will have different abundance pattern. And my motivation for doing this project is I want to understand these halo stars, which we always put in the background when we compare with ultra-faint dwarf. So from Cosmos simulation, they definitely also come from small dwarf galaxy. So I want to see if I'm able to find their progeny system of these halo stars. So then we can understand, try to understand UFD in the stellar halo. In the sense that as a host set of R2 stars, what's the birth environment and the enrichment scenario? Okay, so that's why I'm interested in this, and my plan is find all these subtractors which are connected to the R2 stars in the stellar halo. And if I can find these subtractors, we know most of the R2 come from UFD, so probably they are the debris of UFD. And based on that, we can have more observations on these members, which are the R2 candidates. And in Ian Rodrow's paper, he already showed that all the R2 stars have halo kinematics. So basically, they are more likely accreted into the Milky Way. So the best sample to do this project, according to George's paper, I think should be very metal. I should use very metal pool star, because you will see like most of the UFD and low mass dwarf, they would have metallicity below -2. And from Lamos DR3, we have a largest bright VMP catalog of 10 sun stars with metallicity uncertainty about 0.3 dex. And after I do this selection, we have 4 sun VMP stars which have halo kinematics. So my goal is trying to find subtractors out of these. And before I go into the detail, I just first show you the results. I found 3 groups, and one is the Helm, from the data sample I just showed you. One is the Helm string, which is also called S2 from Mian's paper. And I also found another group called S1 from his paper. And together with these two, I found a group with similar significance and confidence I called G2 here. And I also found a well-measured R2 star is associated with G2 dynamically. So G2 is the promising group, which probably comes from the ultra-faint dwarf. And I show the metallicity distribution of G2 here. So for the very metal point, I only found 9 stars. And I tried to find all the other members in different surveys, and I found like 8 members. So the distribution looks a little broad, but it still peaks around -2. So also S1 peaks around -2. So these are my results, and then I will spend some time to talk about the method. Yeah.
So your S1 there looks like it's in a similar part of parameter space to the Sequoia.
It's G1 or G2.
G2 is not Sequoia. No. So Sequoia has metallicity around -1.6.
Well, but their picture is that the Sequoia was a relatively large dwarf galaxy that had some satellites,
yeah.
Some of which might have been more metal poor.
Yeah, I checked carefully about their action space, which I also in my slides. So they are not one of the retrograde group in Sequoia. And yeah, so I will show you in 5 minutes probably. Then I will go through the method part. First of all, I'm developing a clustering method called StarGo, and it's based on self-organized map. Here's a simple example. If you have 2 clusters in a smooth background, I try to identify these 2 clusters. So what self-organized map does is we have a 50 by 50 neural network. and each neuron has a weight vector which has a it has the same the weight factor has the same dimension as the input vector. So in this case, it would be 3D. Then for each data point, I first try to find the best matching neuron. Basically, I find the neuron which has the closest weight vector to the input vector. And then I can map all the data set to the neural network. And after I input one data set, one data point, all the neurons try to update their weight vector to get closer to that input. But the learning effectiveness is based on their location on this neural on this neural map. So what you will see is, this is the iteration of learning process. You will see gradually the neuron will reorganize themselves, and then I keep mapping my data point to the neural network. It will show up like this. So basically, all these two clusters will also be clustered in the neural space, and then I develop some algorithm to extract these two blobs from the neuron, which corresponding to the clusters in the input space. So I will just show you one example I just finished. So I use this method to rediscover the Sagittarius stream and the orphan stream. At the same time, I found the new component of the theta stream. So by applying my method in the energy and angular momentum space, and you can see this small patch here corresponding to the orphan string, and this large patch corresponds to the Sagittarius. And at the same time, what I can do is I can map all the global clusters to the same neuron map trained by my data set. So in this way, I can find which global clusters are associated with which string. That's how I found, reconfirmed the five global clusters associated with Sagittarius and one associated with Cetus. So that's how my method works.
Hold on, those Sagittarius clusters, I think they have quite different abundances, right? Or at least different metallicity.
Yeah, I think so.
How could they be part of the same structure according to this metallicity clustering?
Oh, okay, so I did not have metallicity information in all these things. Yeah, my input space is only energy and angular momentum.
Ah, okay, sorry, that's
the metallicity. So, okay. So if you believe all of this, if you believe I discovered these streams, then we apply the same thing on the VMP catalog, and I detect three islands here. So these islands, basically, they correspond to the overdensity in the input space. And this orange patch is the Helmi string, and this cyan one is S1. And the magenta patch is G2. So I plot them in the angular momentum space. And also from Kopman's paper, they select Helmi string in this blue box. So it pretty much agrees with my group. And if you look at their orbital direction, so this is the atop projection of angular momentum. You can see Helmi is close to prograde, and these two are retrograde groups. And then I compare with Mian's groups. So these bunch of groups are sequoia. So I think it's clear in this plot. So all of these small groups are sequoia, and S1 is this blue group here. The metallicity around -1.9, so corresponds to S1 here. And the new group I found, it's not in their identified groups. And it's not surprising because we use completely different data set. And that's also probably indicate that G2 is more metal poor.
You may have said this, but can you remind us what potential you're using?
So in this plot, I use exactly the same potential as Mian's paper. Okay, so if we believe all of this, I did one more step to check their metallicity distribution. So I only identify them from VMP catalog, but I search members from entire Lamos DR5, Apple G, Gaia RBS, and the Saga database. So you, Basically, I map all the stars to this trained neural network, and if they are tightly associated with these three groups, I consider them as the group members. And you can see this is the result. What I found, it helped me is a large group, and the peak modulicity is around -1.5. And this is S1, the modulicity is about minus, mean modulicity about -2, which is consistent with Mian's work. And G2 is the smallest group. Probably we cannot say too much about the distribution. I checked the contamination using the smooth halo background. For all three of them, it's around 10%. But in the real world, we will have more mergers comes in with high modulicity. So all the high modulicity tail, they may be contaminated more by the other mergers. So I think I won't say G2 is from Otto-Fendorf, but we definitely need to, that's why we need to make proposals to get more stars to be observed by the high-resolution spectroscopy. Across G2 and R2 in the galactic coordinates, and basically they follow similar orbits because that's how I found them. I found them using the angular momentum and orbital energy. And the blue arrow is the R2 stars, and the magenta ones are the G2 members. And if they do come from the same system, and Otto-Fendorf is basically the best size to host these R2 stars, I plot these R2 stars in the Barian and the European over iron plot. It would locate around the same region as these reticulum 2 stars. So we made proposal to observe more members of G2, and we would expect they comes in this stay in this region if they are from the same system. I don't want to overinterpret that. I mean, we try to find our goal is to find Otto-Fendorf host these R2 stars in the stellar halo, but I think we need to do all these observations to confirm that results. Yeah. And the last thing is, my collaborator strongly recommend me to add this line. So if you believe all of this and you happen to need to find some clustering in your data sets, you're welcome to download my code in the GitHub, and I'm happy to help you with the group identification process. So that's all I want to say.
Questions for Jen?
I think I have a slight subset. Are you saying that G2 is associated with reticulum 2?
I'm saying, sorry, I did not make it clear, very clear. I'm saying G2 is associated with a well-measured R2 star, and that R2 star is, their barrier of iron is located here, which is close to the reticulum 2 stars.
In chemistry?
Yeah.
But it's not close to the reticulum 2 stars in phase space.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not the same.
Okay. So I assume the idea is this could be the remnant of another process-enriched quantum network.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there only one star that has high-resolution abundances so far?
Yes, yes.
Wynn had a question.
Two questions. First, can you tell us a little bit more about your proposals to get high-resolution spectroscopy? And second, I wanted to know, have you used Sargo for finding open clusters?
Oh, yeah. So the first question is, you mean the proposal of the high-resolution?
Yeah, I was wondering where you'd apply it, actually.
Oh, so we made two Subaru telescope by two different channels, but the same proposal. And basically, all the plots is what we put in the proposal. Yeah. And the second question is the open cluster.
Yeah, have you used it to find open clusters?
Yeah. So it is, so actually in Si Miang's talk, he showed one result about coma baronesses, and it's from our paper. So we are the first group to identify the tidal tails for Coma berenices, which is the second closest open class to us. And I use the neural network to do the group finding thing. And basically, we find two islands here, and it corresponds to Coma berenices and the northern group. So you can see the tail structures in this plot. And yeah, and another paper came out 2 weeks after we put on the archive. They used DBScan, but they have many more parameters to tune. Yeah, so we are doing these open casting like one by one. Hey.
Sorry, can you again summarize that, how that you see to this one, this gate to Sequoia and
okay, so how
also Matsuno one is basically the same as this one, the Matsuno.
Oh yeah, I also found his group in a different data set. So you want me to
just briefly summarize this. So it's one piece.
Oh, okay. So you are talking about this?
Yeah.
I think what happened is Tadafumi, he is also the collaborating this project. He found a group which is close to he found a group here, which is very significant group. I also found that. And Sequoia is all these retrograde, these groups start with RG, meaning retrograde groups. So these bunch of groups and their modularity are all around -1.6. So I think that's where you call Sequoia, right? And S1 is below these groups, and it's more metal poor than Sequoia. And then these regions are Gaia's Landers or Gaia's Sausage, these regions, like more radial grade component. Yeah. I'm interested in this small group, but definitely there are lots of groups here.
But help me, one is quite metal rich, so like
yeah,
very small group, and it's getting comparable with density to Sequoia, etc.
Yeah, help me is here. So basically, I found the very metal pool component of the help me. This
so
fact.
The extension to the higher density.
Yeah. I think I found it in very metal pool already indicated it's a very large one. Because if I found lots of very metal pool stars in the Helmi stream, if it's a small one with only very metal pool stars, it's hard to find them because they come from some small system. They should be phase mixed like severely. I should not be able to find like 30 or 40 members of the Helmi stream.
But why the Gaia's or Sausage doesn't have a very metal pool stars?
I think I can see Gaia Sausage in this plot, but I just cannot identify them as a single group because they are more diffuse. Their classic signal is not stronger, yeah, and not as strong as the Helmi string and the other groups.
I think the sausage won't be as concentrated on this plot because there's, when you go through the center, it gets a big range of energies.
Yeah.
It won't be, it'll be more diffuse.
Yeah.
I think Rosie had a question.
Yeah, so if I understand correctly, you started off with a sample that was very metal poor.
Yeah.
And then you looked for clustering and action space. And I think you said that this is the metal poor end of the Helmi stream. So can you use the action and energy of the other groups you found to look for the metal rich counterpart of those? I mean,
you
can
mean
you
for
show
S1
that they,
and these? You
yeah.
Mean the,
yeah, so is there a metal rich counterpart of them?
Yeah, so I did find some
solar
members.
Above her cut of very metal
yeah.
Poor.
Yeah. I did find some members which are above -2, but
oh,
definitely,
you have it there.
Yeah. Definitely not many. There's only like 10 or 5 stars. So compared to the Helmi, you see it's a much larger group.
Okay. Okay, it's just in terms of your identification of saying, you know, this is an ultra-faint dwarf. If you start to find more and more stars at higher metallicity, it starts to say maybe it's not an ultra-faint.
Yeah, so I never said it's ultra-faint dwarf. I never said that because, like, we are not confirmed. But yeah, I think at high metallicity end, they probably will get more contamination by other mergers. So if the other dwarf galaxy comes in with similar angular momentum of any energy, I will identify them as the high metallicity. Yeah, so that's why we need more observations.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jen.